This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. Hello, welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and it is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. And we are back at our fabulous studio in the backyard of Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is our 323rd episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talent in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is an ice cream wizard, with her Italian-inspired ice cream and coffee shop in New York City. And I will introduce her fully in a moment. First, as I do in every show, I will start out with my PR tip. Then later, we'll have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to have integrity. Yes, have strong work ethic, including sound judgment, honesty, dependability, and loyalty. And follow moral and ethical principles in all aspects of life. Integrity means living with honor, and it's a good way to live, the right way. So let's live it and always do the right thing, even when no one is watching. That's my tip today. Okay, as I said, I'm happy to be back here in the studio, and my guest today is Hallie Meyer. She's the founder and owner of Cafe Panna, an Italian-inspired ice cream and coffee shop in New York City's Gramercy neighborhood. Before opening the shop, Hallie worked in savory kitchens stateside and in Italy, and in one of Rome's most beloved gelaterias. She began making and selling her own ice cream in 2018 through pop-ups in the South Bronx while she was serving with AmeriCorp City Year as the team leader at PS154. Cafe Panna is inspired by Hallie's time living and working in Rome, featuring seasonal rotating flavors, creative Sundays, and signature avocado sundaes made with both Italian imported and local ingredients. Without further ado, hi, Hallie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I love your tip because it's very relevant, I think, to at least how I try to run things at Cafe Panna every day. But that's great.
Yes, and I try to have my tip that matches how I feel about my guests. So I was inspired by the tip
from
you.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like if you, especially in this industry, when there's new things happening all the time and new things opening all the time, if you are trying to add something to the landscape of what already exists and it's not actually coming from you and it's not actually tied to what you really believe, then what the heck is it for, you know? So I think it's a great way to view life and business in general.
Yes, I agree. And yes, I'm glad you like it. And it is how I think of you and how you run your business.
Thank you. That's super nice of you.
So let's start out. I always like to go back with my guests and find out how they got into the industry and what inspired you to get into hospitality and now have an ice cream shop.
Totally. So I've been obsessed with ice cream for as long as I can remember, but I'm pretty sure many people have also been obsessed with ice cream because it's kind of this universally crowd-pleasing item. But I knew I wanted to have my own business growing up. My dad was in the restaurant business, and I was very lucky to kind of be surrounded by that growing up. And also, my mom was someone who followed her own passion. She's a singer and actress, and sort of like seeing my parents follow the things that they just love to do and have work be something that was also just very naturally the creative thing that they also wanted to put into the world. That kind of normalized for me that if I wanted to do something, well, I should go pursue it and do it. And, you know, no matter what education you have, if you can seek out the work experience to make your dream come true, then you should absolutely do it. So I feel very lucky for that. And I think it really started my freshman year of college. I worked at a local ice cream shop called Ashley's Ice Cream in New Haven with one of my best friends. And, you know, so on Saturday nights when all of our friends were going to the dance club next door, we were mopping the floor and closing the ice cream shop. And, you know, they were knocking on the door and asking to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really got into, this idea of, you know, just flavors and like how amazing and fun ice cream is. And after that, I started to document on an Instagram account all of the ice creams that I ate. And I would, you know, I would do this in every city I went to, whether it was international or national. Like, I would look up all the ice cream shops to go to and make sure that I tried at least two different places, really just like putting my feelers out there, seeing what was going on. And then kind of the Italian thing fell into the formula after my freshman year of college. I went to work in the south of Italy in a kitchen there. So that's the start of it all.
So when you started the Instagram account, were you just posting pictures of ice cream? Was that your whole account?
It was literally the places that, and it was really for me because I had this pipe dream. Okay, I'm going to open an ice cream shop someday. I want to keep track of all of the ice creams I've tried. And so it was literally photos of all the ice creams I've eaten, whether it's at a shop, whether it was Roberta's ice cream dessert, whatever it was, I would take a photo of it and make sure to document it there. And I have to credit the friend that I started it with. So we called the account, you're going to laugh, but we called it Two Girls, Two Cones. And this is before there was a weird YouTube video regarding
I didn't know that, but yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, there have been a lot of creative names on Instagram, yes. Especially when it first started.
Exactly. And my friend, bless her heart, quickly realized that I was going to be eating and documenting way more ice cream than she ever cared to. but she stayed on the account. And so, you know, it was like 4 years of me doing that kind of research. Actually, probably more like 5 years, because it was, you know, throughout college. Yeah. And then just leading up to opening Cafe Panna.
So you went to Rome after college. I did a semester my junior year in Florence.
Nice.
So that was a part of school. So, right. But you didn't, your Rome experience was post.
Yeah, my okay. Rome experiences were after graduating. The first Italian experience I had was really being lucky enough to travel with my family when I was young. And you know, I knew I loved Italy, but I hadn't really had my own professional experiences there yet. So the first time I did that was after my freshman year of college, you know, when everyone else was getting these more traditional internships, you know, whether it was at a bank or whatever. I was like, I really want to go to Italy. I want to explore this a little further. So I found a place with another friend of mine that where I was able to work basically like on an agriturismo in the south of Italy. So it was kind of like an inn for guests to cycle in and out of, and there was terraced farms that were being restored, and you know, we were cooking like eggplant parmesan when we had a lot of eggplants, we were making tomato sauce when we had a lot of tomatoes, and my friend and I were like the only English-speaking people in that town. So we picked up a little bit of Italian, but I hadn't really taken it at that point.
Interesting. Formally.
So then when I got back to school, I took it and I was like, this is amazing. And speaking it just makes me feel happy. So,
yes, I spoke it a tiny bit when I was living there. That was at my, I was at my prime. I understand it now much better than I say anything.
It's kind of a language that's easy to understand because it's so expressive. You know?
Yes,
so even
yes.
if you're not quite sure what's going on, there's a way to at least feel the energy of what the person is saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love ice cream. I certainly loved eating a lot of gelato in Italy when I was there and appreciate it now. But I never had the, I'm going to open an ice cream shop at some point.
Yeah.
So when did that kind of kick in where you're like, this is really what I want to do? And then just also, I mean, your father, Danny Meyer, is my guest from episode 100. So I have to give him a shout out. And I truly admire him. He's very admired in the industry. But I want to know, like, as his daughter, was he encouraging for you to open an ice cream shop? I mean, I think what you were saying earlier was basically whatever you want to pursue, your parents were like, go for it.
Yeah, and I feel very lucky to be able to say that. And I always make a point of, I give my dad a ton of credit because what he does obviously was what exposed me to the industry. But I think more importantly in informing my desire to take a step and start my own business and create my own concept, I really do need to credit both parents because they set the example for me that what you do professionally can in fact align with what you love to do. And it's not necessarily just about how much money are you going to make, but if you do the thing that you love, then that will follow.
About. Yes. Yes. And I believe in that. And I think that's a wonderful lesson to learn from your parents.
Right. Yeah. No. And I think they definitely support me. No question. And they also deserve a lot of credit for allowing me to make a disgusting amount of ice cream at home for about a year straight when I was actually living in their apartment when I was doing my year of service with AmeriCorps in the South Bronx, because it was just the most convenient place for me to live. Quickly hop on the 6 train, go up to the school I was working at, and come back, sleep for a very short amount of hours, and get back up there at 7 a.m. for morning circle with the kids. And every night I would come home and like make ice cream in tiny little Cuisinart ice cream maker, just experimenting with flavors. And so my mom would be like, Hallie, you need to like clear the freezer out. Like, you know, but that's really how it all started. So huge credit to both of them in that regard.
And so, it doesn't sound so terrible having you at home.
I appreciate you saying that.
All right. Well, that's from the outside looking in, but I wouldn't mind someone making ice cream for me. So you decided to open this Italian-inspired ice cream shop.
I think to answer your question of when did I really know that I was going to do this, it was when I was working in Italy in 2017. I went to live in Rome for like a 6-month period, and I worked at a kitchen at a place called the American Academy in Rome, which is, a very amazing old institution that houses architects and artists and professors who become fellows for about 2 years. And the kitchen program there is actually now run by Alice Waters' Rome Sustainable Food Project.
Oh,
so
wow.
The kitchen is rotating American, Italian, and chefs from all around the world. And, you know, it's young cooks. So I was one of those. And we had the pleasure of cooking 3 beautiful meals a day for the fellows that live there and, you know, their guests that were cycling through. And, you know, there's a garden on the campus, and it really immerses you in traditional Roman cooking, but also kind of with like a seasonality bent. So when I was there, after all my shifts and before all my shifts, I was going to every single place that sold gelato in Rome and just getting completely absorbed and obsessed. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to do this when I go back. We have to make this real in New York.
Yeah.
So that was the moment, I think.
And you did. Talk about, so for people who don't know what Cafe Panna is, and tell us a bit about the concept and your different offerings. And I'm eyeing this fabulous ice cream that's in front of us, and I'm gonna dive in at any moment.
These 4 pints are now at the perfect eating temperature, so you probably should do it.
I'm gonna take a bite while you explain little what Cafe Panna is.
For sure. So Cafe Panna is an Italian-inspired ice cream shop. So I opened in 2019, September of 2019. So that was only about 6 months before the world changed and the pandemic hit. And when we opened, I opened kind of more directly as not a copy, but really like inspired by the Italian concept that I had fallen in love with. So the cafe bar gelateria, the place where you can go in the morning for your espresso and pastry and then get your ice cream in the afternoon, get your affogato in the evening, and even get a drink at night. So we were primarily a scoop shop. You like them?
I'm over here just like smiling as I'm...
It makes me so happy to
eating
see.
My eating my 4 pints of ice cream.
So the two flavors you just tried, the first is Red Flag, and that is sweet cream base with strawberry swirl and house-made graham crunch. That was actually the first flavor I ever sold.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and it's now one of our classics. The other one is Odd's Dream, which is named after my mom. So those two we have every single day. Those are two of our classics. And then one of the crazy things we do is we change the other flavors every day as well. So both scoops and pints change every day. Odd's Dream is a vanilla ice cream with peanut butter swirl. Very simple.
I love it. I mean, and I'll share with you, I was going to share with you at some point, this past weekend, somebody took a little visit over to Cafe Panna and waited outside for a bit. It was a nice long line on Saturday
night.
Did
you go?
I was
there.
Amazing.
You got to tell me next time.
Next time. But I got an avocado.
Okay.
With the, I think we have it here, the Cafe Bianco.
Cafe Bianco, yeah.
Because I asked actually the worker, the mm-hmm. person on your team, who what was most popular, and he said that was.
Yeah, it's a great avocado.
And then the move that I made, which was so fabulous, I got a Nabisco Inferno to go.
Nice. A whole pint of Nabisco Inferno.
Whole pint. Yes. And when I got home, I honestly almost couldn't stop eating it. Insane flavor. I mean, and the avocado, I have to say, when I was there, I was thinking, oh, I should get a whole sundae. You know, you're known for your avocado sundaes. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I'll talk later. I went after a dinner I had, and I just wanted that
sweet taste.
That sweet taste, yeah. And the size of it with the espresso, and it was just perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
The single avocado. So I love that. I love what you just described, because you just described two menu items that are on complete opposite sides of the spectrum of what we do. And like the yes. one side of the spectrum, like you said, is very, very adult. And there's something about the affogato that turns an ice cream outing into like a more adult, more mature thing, because, you know, there's espresso, but also you got the Cafe Bianco, which is a very sophisticated flavor. It's cold steeped coffee bean. It's white, but it tastes like coffee. And it has fruity little chocolate shards that we use on Mono chocolate in. And the espresso, you know, it's like the espresso brings out the ice cream and the ice cream brings out the espresso.
It was perfect yeah. combo. I'm really, my favorite flavors growing up, I'd say, was Rocky Road. Like, I've always been a chocolate person.
Chunky chocolate.
And I almost got the chocolate, but I asked and I just followed the lead on it. I figured, you know, let me try this. And I loved it. I mean, I love sweet. So I'm not that hard to please in a sense, but your flavors, they just rock. They're so unique. So what's this one I just tried that tastes, I think, like peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So this one is a fresh black raspberry base with that thick peanut butter swirl and actually a blackberry swirl. So I love playing with fruit and nut and, you know, figuring out different combos that work. I feel like everything can be built off of PB&J, that combo, because there's something that is just so complementary about nut and fruit, because one is like that kind of saltier, richer, and one is like acidic, and there are usually some really fun combinations to be had. So black raspberry and peanut butter is one of my favorites. Strawberry and almond, strawberry and hazelnut, you know, there are really fun ways that you can like riff off of that. And then of course the Cafe Bianco, which you're digging into now. But the amazing thing about your order, which was a Cafe Bianco affogato and then the pint of Nabisco Inferno, you see the spectrum, right? The Nabisco Inferno is, we took every single Nabisco cookie that there is and infused it into the ice cream somehow. So the base is infused with Nutter Butters, the chunks were candied golden Oreos, the swirl was a fudge that had chocolate chips throughout it. So that kind of flavor is, I mean, that's definitely not traditional Italian, right? At all.
Right.
That's totally, you know, our spin on things. But we do take some things from the Italian tradition, like the affogatos, and also the fact that we make the flavors daily.
I mean, they're all amazing. They're all completely different flavor profiles.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, a little more intense, a little more mild, a little, but they're all, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so let me
I'm
ask
glad you. Like them.
No, thank you so much for bringing. I mean, I enjoyed waiting in line the other night because it was part of the experience. It's like a New York experience. And people, it was just exciting. It was great to be there. And then you have your window set up outside. And
I appreciate our guests so much because they have fun in line. You know, that's not even really up to us. We can, you know, put out a great product and have a great team. But if people are having fun, that adds to everyone else's experience. So
yeah,
very grateful that they have a good time in line.
It was good energy. It was good. It was a beautiful night. People were excited to be out and waiting for ice cream and very worth the wait.
Well, thank you for coming.
Of course. So let me ask you my question from my last guest in episode 322. I had on Laura Lashley. Mm-hmm. She's the national on-premise manager for Diageo Non-Alc. And she wants to know, what's so special about the kinds of Italian cafes that inspired your concept, bringing an Italian-inspired ambiance and service to New York? What do you think you can bring to New York from Italy? She noted she's never been to Italy, mm-hmm. so she's sort of... And she's based in L.A., so...
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I feel like I have to, for professional reasons, return to Italy at least twice a year now to remind myself of what it is I'm trying to bring to New York. But the first thing that I would say as a caveat is Cafe Panna is not Italian, right? It's inspired by these cafe bar gelaterias, but none of these flavors are traditionally Italian, and so we're not claiming to be that at all. But the spirit of what goes on in the cafe bar gelaterias in Rome that I really fell in love with is that it's a place you can go for a treat, for also something a little bit more practical, you know, a coffee. And like I said, we used to do pastries and everything. We stopped doing that, which is fine. We're still, like, the core of what we are is still very true to that concept. And we're really, because of the pandemic, able to lean into the thing that we do best, which is pints and scoops. But the other thing about the Italian concept is that people use these places as not just like special occasions. You know, it's not just waiting in line when it's a really nice day. It's, you know, a bunch of lawyers going out to get an affogato together. It's, you know, grandmas, it's kids. It's, and so I wanted to have that kind of place. And that's part of why I wanted to call it Cafe Panna. Like, I want you to know that you can come at any time of day. You can sit alone and eat your affogato, which I'm sure you probably saw that. There are people that just come and they get an affogato and they just sit there alone. And there's something about that that's just really beautiful. And I think it's something about the espresso makes it feel a little bit more... a little bit more adult, but also just like, it's also just the best food in the world.
No, it's fabulous. And yeah, the size, like having, there was no, not to say you should feel guilty when you're eating ice cream ever, but there was like no guilt. Like there was this, I got one scoop and like I ate the whole thing. It was like, it was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted.
Right. And if you want to go all out, we definitely have you covered
in
that.
Well, you could talk about that because you have, I mean, anyone goes to Instagram and they sees your sundaes, they are works of art.
Yeah, those are fun. So the way that we structure our menu is, well, one of the main things that I took inspiration from those cafe bar gelaterias, and specifically the one I worked at, Odaleg, is that flavors that are sold that day are produced as close to that day as possible, and that the flavors are infinity. They're ever changing. You will definitely have your classic staples that you have at every gelateria, you know, pistachio, stracciatella, nocciola. And for us, we always have our classic six flavors, which is vanilla, chocolate, cafe bianco, stracciatella, Odd's Dream, Red Flag, and chocolate sorbet. And cookies and panna, of course, how could I forget our bestseller?
Of course.
I like to forget it, I think. But the thing that I loved so much about the gelaterias there is that there's an endless, the rest of the display case of flavors can be anything. And at many gelaterias, it doesn't change so much. They're very traditional. But specifically the one that I worked at, Odaleg, Marco, the chef, is very adventurous. And, you know, he would send me to the farmer's market and just be like, pick up whatever you find. And I'd bring back carrots. And he'd be like, great, we're making carrot. You know, so that spirit of being able to use a technique, but change the content, you know, within that format, that's really exciting to me. So that's what we do with the pints every week, with the scoops every week, and then also with the sundaes every day. So we have affogato sundaes and ice cream sundaes. And an affogato sundae is basically a freestyle spin on an affogato, which is espresso poured over ice cream. But with the sundaes, I like to incorporate a crunch element, maybe some kind of gooey element, a drizzle, and definitely panna. And then pair that with flavors that aren't just vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah, well, there was a very interesting one the night I was there. You have puns, I think, also when you read. You got to read the description but this one, I know it had grape nuts.
Yeah.
It
was a grape nutty affogato. Yes. That's a great one to dissect that can explain a lot of parts of the story. So the grape nutty affogato that had grape nut ice cream. So grape nut ice cream, literally the cereal grape nuts. We soak that in the ice cream base. Then we strain those out. Then we spin that ice cream so it's an ice cream that tastes like grape nut milk. And then we add crunchy grape nuts in there. That flavor is one of my favorite flavors from Ashley's Ice Cream, which is where I worked in college. And it's actually kind of like a traditional New England flavor. Who knew? But I said, okay, this is a really good coffee flavor pairing, right? Because this is like that nutty, kind of cookie-ish, milky vibe. Really good with coffee. Also kind of gives you breakfast feelings the combination. And then peanut butter, of course, because anytime you can cut that nuttiness with like the really strong ristretto intenso espresso that we use, it just kind of like it brings out both sides. So it was that, and then some peanut brittle to like add extra crunch. You didn't get that one though,
I
right?
didn't get okay. that one yeah. And I'm like, oh
no, people love the nutty ones, they love the cereally ones.
I was tempted, but I'll have to maybe catch it next time or just
dream
about it.
Very fun one.
But it's amazing talking to you, and you are just glowing this whole entire conversation. Like, it's obvious that you love what you do and you're so passionate about it.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah, it's wonderful. On a little bit of a different note, just with the pandemic, which, you know, over the past 2+ years, like, how did that shift your business model and also, like, moving forward, what's the plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the pandemic, as we both know, impacted this industry in a way that a lot of other industries can't even relate to. And I was really lucky that that I had a product that was something we could basically ship. Repurpose reshape and sell it in a different format, as I was mentioning. So before the pandemic, Cafe Panna was only three of those categories that I mentioned. So we only did scoops, ice cream sundaes, affogato sundaes. We did not sell pints in those first 6 months. We maybe sold, I'll take that back, we maybe sold, 20 pints a week because we were hand packing them for someone who begged for it. But it wasn't something I was pushing because I was really kind of into this idea of, well, let's have it just be all about the scoops, just like it is in Italy. Pints are not something you will see at a gelateria in Italy. And so when 2020 hit, when March 2020 hit, we closed down for about, 3 weeks. I quickly realized this was going to be the way that we could get the product to our guests who, I would love to give, I would love to spread a little joy during this time. So we started to make pints with a very, very stripped down team. We started with only like 100 a week and we turned our corner on 19th Street into a pickup window. And as the 18 months progressed, I started to realize that this business model was way more efficient than my previous business model. We added back scoops, we added back sundaes, but now we had this whole other sales category of pints. And we added on online ordering. So folks were ordering online at Cafe Panna to pick up at Cafe Panna, delivery. So folks in Manhattan all over can get Cafe Panna delivered in pints only. And the scoops and the sundaes really kind of became secondary from a, you know, from a revenue perspective, but they still remain a very key part of the experience, right? You had this experience of the affogato, and that that's still going to be how you associate with the brand. And then we added on nationwide shipping, and I started to work with a couple partners here in New York to make custom flavors for them, and those are mostly in pints. So now I've got kind of a wholesale program going on, the nationwide shipping, and then, you know, the direct from Cafe Pana. And we actually closed the store for about 4 months this past September just to increase our production capacity. So now we can make more ice cream out of our shop. Still gonna need to get more space ASAP, but it definitely helped. We were able to triple the production capacity of what we previously could do.
That's amazing. Would you like to open more locations, or right now you're good with?
So I think what the pandemic taught me is really how this business should work and can work, which is that we can make more ice cream and sell more ice cream in fewer hours with fewer people, but make more people happy with it. So what I want to do next is get more space to make more ice cream. So I'm not necessarily interested in another scoop shop location, but rather a production location that could have a pint window that can have the same online and delivery operation with the same, you know, set of rotating flavors. Maybe they're different for one borough than the other. We're here in Brooklyn, and I have to say it would make a lot of sense for me to you know, maybe get some production space here so that we can start getting the pints to a different borough.
Well, that's cool. I will stay tuned.
Yeah.
And before we take a break, I'll just say I was at a fabulous event last night. I actually got to go to the film premiere of We Feed People, which is on Jose Andres and World Central Kitchen, and it's directed by Ron Howard. And there was an after party at Jose's Mercado Little Spain, and Gail Simmons was there, and we were chatting, and I mentioned that you were coming on my show today, and I think 10 minutes at least, she went on how Cafe Pana, like, is her favorite, and how she would drive here.
I had no idea.
Yes, she would, well, she said during the pandemic, they would take trips with her kids to come here and get the pints from the window.
That's great.
No, it was like I mentioned it, and she was just, we had this huge conversation all about how much we love what you're doing.
Well,
and
now
she's a big fan.
I have to reach out. I gotta send her some ice cream. But yeah, the window thing during the pandemic taught us a lot, and you know, as you know, that's the model now, really. It's just a little bit more formalized.
Yeah.
But I think it was kind of a fun special occasion experience for people, because we were only doing like 2 days a week at that time.
Yeah.
People just needed something to do.
And I get it, because I was here in the pandemic. So yeah. But and with kids and ice cream, yeah, it all made sense.
Totally.
But yes, now you know.
Thank you for that.
Of course. So we're gonna take a little break, because we got this ice cream, we're gonna have to freeze it up or something. It's melting, but it's so delicious. And we'll come back, and we will play my speed round, talk some industry news. I have my solo dining experience and final questions. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. You've heard me talk about Diageo Bar Academy on this podcast now for some time. Diageo Bar Academy is a totally free resource for bartenders, bar managers, and those in the hospitality industry. Whether you are an experienced bartender looking for new inspirations and trends, or you are just starting out, Diageo Bar Academy's online courses offer real-life skills to help you grow in your career. They are always free, interactive, and some take less than 30 minutes to complete. E-learning courses cover everything from skills and techniques to basics of spirit categories and improving guest experiences. Visit DiageoBarAcademy.com to build your skills with Diageo Bar Academy e-learning and masterclasses. made for newbies and bar professionals at every level, it's time to focus on taking your career to the next level. Become a member today for instant access to their global bar community. That's DIAGEOBarAcademy.com. Must be 21 or over. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Hallie Meyer, the founder and owner of Cafe Panna, an Italian-inspired ice cream and coffee shop in New York City's Gramercy neighborhood. So, Hallie, it's time for my speed round.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I think I have a feeling you're gonna rock this game. So what this is I name a couple of things and you get to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Vanilla.
Ah, it's always in my sample. I'm chocolate, as I said earlier.
Interesting. What's the most common answer?
Well, that one's, I think that's a 50-50.
Yeah,
which maybe, I don't know if you find that too.
We actually find that chocolate is the least seller. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
But if you put something in chocolate, then poof, it sells like crazy.
That is very interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've always been a chocolate person. And then I realized it's the same with actually restaurants too, with dessert menus. I'll typically go for the chocolate. But I've learned there's a lot of other great desserts that I might really enjoy. So I don't always get the chocolate now.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Diversify.
Exactly.
Okay. So here we go. Eat in at home or eat out at a restaurant?
Eat in at home.
Indoor dining or al fresco dining?
Al fresco dining if it's nice out.
Wine, beer, cocktail, mocktail, or champagne?
Champagne. Prosecco, really.
All right. I like it. Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Large plates.
How about communal table or chef's counter?
Oh, communal table.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
All-inclusive charge, only because that's what we do at Cafe Panna, and I got to stand by it.
Yeah, that one has always been the most interesting, or kind of people get stumped on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's super important to me to make sure that the production team and the front of house team get compensated equally, because, you know, no offense to the front of house, love them and they do amazing work. But our production team is making thousands of pints by hand every week, and they deserve to be compensated on par with front of house.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Makes sense. Okay, a couple more. Making ice cream or eating ice cream?
Definitely eating ice cream. but making this ice cream. So nothing I'd rather be doing than making ice cream every day. But when I'm eating ice cream, it's not never my ice cream, because, you know, you have to be in like a mindless chill state when you're eating ice cream.
Yeah.
If I tried to dig into one of these pints, it's like work. It's like digging into art.
I know I should have offered you some, but you just, yeah, there were spoons.
it was offered.
Okay. How about gelato, sorbet, or ice cream?
Ice cream.
And then a little extra one, because we didn't talk about it. Pizza or pasta?
Pasta.
Yeah, I know you've done stuff with pasta.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely pasta. Although pizza and pasta have the same trait, one of many traits that ice cream has, which is that it's kind of a blank canvas that you can apply a lot of different flavor combinations to. But probably more importantly, what it shares with ice cream is that it's hard to find a person that doesn't like pizza and pasta and
ice cream. Yeah, no, true. All good categories.
Definitely.
Okay, last two. Cheese plate or dessert?
Ooh, lately cheese plate, because I know I'm going to have dessert when I get home, which is always going to be strawberry Häagen-Dazs.
Oh, wow. So interesting. I love that you eat others' ice cream.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. Okay, last one's Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Manhattan. Born and raised and still live and work in the same 10 block radius.
Yeah. Well, your neighborhood you're in, Gramercy, is like fabulous.
It's a good neighborhood. Yeah. I feel really lucky that, you know, the space became available when it did.
Well, awesome. That was the game. And yes, you were awesome.
Good.
Okay, so for industry news, I just picked out an article that was in USA Today entitled Netflix is rebooting Iron Chef with Alton Brown, the chairman, in 8 bingeable episodes. And this was by Jennifer McLellan. And yeah, this is Iron Chef, which has been a very popular show for, I think they, it says here they did 13 seasons on the Food Network, is coming back. It's going to be on Netflix starting June 15th. And it's a reboot. And they have a new host, Kristen Kish, is joining Alton Brown, and then their Iron Chef chairman, Mark DeCoscos, is back. So I don't know. I thought this was fun news. I think it's a show people appreciate.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like drama and cooking all in one.
It is. It's been very popular. They said they haven't announced yet who the Iron Chefs are or the challengers, so that's all going to be new. And you know, it's a different platform, so we'll see how much they, you know, change it up a little bit. But I think it will be exciting to see who they bring on.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Alton Brown too. He kind of made the nerdy side of cooking cool with his show Good Eats.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is like the perfect definition of something or what he's done.
I would love to talk to him about ice cream because there's so much science in it that people don't care to really think about, which is good. They should just enjoy the ice cream. But I would love to just riff about how there's really no difference between ice cream and gelato, et cetera, et cetera.
That came up in a conversation I was having recently. What? So there isn't a difference between ice cream and gelato?
So here's my take.
Okay.
Gelato is the Italian word for ice cream.
Ba-dum-bump.
Right? So if you want to describe Cafe Panna in Italian, we're a gelateria. But we are in the United States, so I call it ice cream, and we're an ice cream shop. There are some legal definitions of ice cream. So in the United States, in order to market your product as ice cream on a grocery shelf, your product has to contain at least 10% butter fat and weigh 4.5 pounds per gallon. So if it meets those criteria, you can call it ice cream. But if it meets those criteria, no one's stopping you from calling it gelato, right? Gelato in Italy tends to be a little bit lower butter fat percentage. Sometimes it's between 8 and 12% fat, whereas my ice creams are usually between more like 13 to even sometimes up to 18, depending on, you know, the ingredients we're using. So that's a tends to thing. Really, it's a spectrum. And then there are more qualitative differences, right? Like if you go to a gelateria in Italy or a place that is marketing itself as a gelateria, you might see the product displayed differently, right? You might see it in the third pans as opposed to tubs that you're scooping out of. You might see it piled really high and have it, you know, look like gelato. It might be served a little warmer. But again, all of these things aren't set in stone or written anywhere. Some people come up to the store and they're like, well, are there eggs in your product? And I'm like, some flavors have eggs, some don't. Well, then it's not gelato. You know, so I always find that funny. It's interesting. People like semantics. We use semantics to organize our understanding of the world. But I think sometimes some things like ice cream, they're beyond semantics. So let's just enjoy.
Well, I appreciate the explanation. I hope you get a geek out with Alton Brown one day.
That would be a dream.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting, probably very long conversation.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's the news. And for my solo dining experience this week, I went to a place called Q, which is spelled KYU. And here's the rundown. The location: 324 Lafayette Street in NoHo, New York City. The concept: it's a wood-fired Asian-inspired restaurant which opened its original location in Miami in 2016. The original founders are Alan Omsky and Jordan Safi, and they joined with the Rubin brothers, Simon and David, who I read are British billionaires, I guess are funding this whole thing, and they're going to be expanding. So that's who the owners are. And then the chef is Chris Ara Lanes. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Why'd I go? Well, I had been to the original Q, which is in Wynwood, Miami, and I really enjoyed it. And this is a hot new opening in New York City, so I decided to go. So my experience. So this past Saturday night, I had a reservation for one. Very warmly greeted when I came in. I was led to a table in the back dining room. I was seated against the banquette, and it was a great spot to watch the room. It was a lot of, it's a lively restaurant. My server was lovely, super nice. And Chris, actually, the chef Chris, came by my table. I think he was walking around the whole dining room. But we had a nice chance to chat a little bit about what he was doing there. So that was cool. Okay, so what did I get? Well, I ordered the tuna crispy rice with smoked chili, which is one of their signatures. And I also got the baby back ribs with yakiniku and cilantro. And I looked up yakiniku, and it actually means grilled meat or barbecue in Japan. So this was a wood-fired item they had. My take. So the ribs came out super fast. I don't know. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the ribs were there. And I was honestly really craving meat and ribs. And so I was stoked, but I knew the tuna I'd ordered would be coming after, and I felt like didn't feel like the right combo to go back. So I canceled the tuna because I figured I can go back another time and get that. And I was really craving ribs, and that's like what I wanted. So I just got down with these ribs, and they're baby back. So they're not huge, but there were six of them piled up. They were fabulous. The meat fell off the bone, super tasty sauce. Like, I was just in my element in this busy restaurant, chowing down on my ribs. I had a little bit of leftovers that I then had the next day. So it was fabulous. I loved it. The ambiance. So it's an impressive space. It's got a really pretty bar up front and it divides the room. There's like a see-through backlit bar, like the bar shelf, and it's light and bright. And then when you go into the back dining room, it's more dark and sexy, I'd say. It's got super high ceilings. And then up front, they also, by the bar, when you pass by, they have this large communal table that's adjacent to the bar and next to this like a semi-open kitchen. So it's a very cool space. I'd say it's perfect for dinner with friends. And there was definitely a millennial crowd more going on there. It was a very young, I'd say hip crowd. People were out. It was Saturday night too. Interesting tidbit. So this space used to be Bobby Flay's Gatto, which closed during the pandemic. And Q is now expanding to other cities. I think they're going to Vegas and LA next. And I saw on their website, they're also currently in Mexico City. So personal fun fact, this is after my dinner. This is when I biked up to Cafe Bana because I saved a little room for my dessert, and I waited and got my perfect affogato and pint to go. So it was a really, it was a fun.
What a great combo.
It was a fun outing. And that's why after this super savory ribs and then to go and have your ice cream with the affogato, it was like perfect.
I love that combo. If I remember correctly, Q has a well-known coconut cake. Is that right?
They probably do. Okay. Yeah, I skipped dessert, but yeah, they have a few signature things that are more popular. But yeah, next, my thing is, will I go back? Yes, I would like to go back, and it's probably a good place to go with friends and mm-hmm. share. It's you know, I do my solo, and I'm always very happy in doing it everywhere I go. But I think this
solo
is a place
dining
you
is
could,
the best.
Yeah, it really is. Get what you want. You're in and out. It's like, and it's fun. So the cost of this meal was $40, not including tax and gratuity. And as I said, I'd go back, and their website is kyurestaurants.com and on Instagram, kyunyc. So there you go. Hot new restaurant in New York City.
I have to try it. I tried it in Miami.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Popular. Hard to get a reservation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was delicious. I think they had some kind of fried chicken that I
yeah,
remember.
I almost got the fried chicken, but it was one of these, I hadn't had like red meat in a while, and it was just like what I was craving. It
Love
was perfect.
Red meat. If you want to talk about red meat, I'm your girl.
All right. After the show.
Yep.
Okay, so it's time for the final question. My next guest is Dan Ryan. He's the founder and CEO of Agency 967, which is a company that provides the best furniture solutions to the top hotels in the world. Dan is also the host of Defining Hospitality podcast. I recently was on his podcast. My episode is episode 48, if anyone wants to check it out. So I'm excited to have him on this show because that was interesting. I was not used to someone asking me the questions. More used to asking right. questions. So I'm going to get the shot to ask him questions. And now I would love if you could also ask Dan a question.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to refer to the question because I might have forgotten it. But I think, unless you have it written down.
I did write down you sent me. You said, how have hotel and restaurant design needs changed since the pandemic? Have business models shifted? How have you I don't know. I might have written this wrong.
No, it's
how
good.
Have you had to provide your service?
Yeah. So I was interested in how hotel and restaurant design needs have changed since the pandemic, and have the fact that those business models have changed, has that shifted how you've had to provide your service, Dan, as the designer? So just like for us, how we've had to completely shift our business model because the way people are enjoying our product is different. It's a come and go thing. How has his business had to change as a service provider based on how restaurants are changing?
Fantastic.
Super interested to know.
Yeah, I'm going to find out. I'm super interested to know too. So thank you. And thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for bringing your delicious ice cream.
My pleasure. So great to be here.
And it's great to hang out here back in the backyard of Roberta's and get to talk about joy.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful that you had me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And please tell me next time you come to the store.
I will. It was kind of a... I had it in mind.
But a secret shopper.
It was a spontaneous move a little bit, but also your hours. We didn't talk about this. You're mm-hmm. not. You're only. You're what? You're open Wednesday to Sunday.
Yes. So, Monday and Tuesday, we are producing ice cream nonstop. We produce Monday through Friday, and then we're open at the store Wednesday through Sunday. So we're in the store every day working, but we couldn't possibly stay open 7 days with our current production capacity. Wow. So that's what. Hopefully another space to help us with. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were just like hanging out for 2 days, you know.
Oh God, that's like a sword in my chest.
Obviously teasing. But yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I will let you know when I come back.
Okay,
and
great.
It will be hopefully soon.
Love it. Love it.
So my guest today has been Hallie Meyer. She's the founder and owner of Cafe Panna, an Italian-inspired ice cream and coffee shop in New York City's Gramercy neighborhood. Her website is cafepanna.com, and you can follow her on social media at Hallie Meyer and at Cafe Panna. You can follow me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, and at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My website's bayerpublicrelations.com, sherrybayer.com, and allintheindustry.com. All of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Thanks to my engineer today, Matt, and thanks again to Hallie. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. My next show with Dan Ryan will be on May 18th. Hope you'll tune in then and stay safe and well. And thank you for being a part of All in the Industry. Bye. All in the Industry is powered by Simplecast. I'm Sherry Bayer, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, HRN is celebrating 10 years of food radio. For the past decade, we've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and more. It's been 10 years, and we're just getting started. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.